All right. Well, Stanford officially has a budget. The Stanford Board of Education approved it without making any changes. And what's ironic is members of the board unanimously voted last week to delay the vote so they could look over the budget before approving it and possibly add some amendments. Well, apparently, according to reports, only one member ended up proposing amendments to the budget. All of them failed. So I want to talk about what happened in this latest meet. But also, I want to talk about what this means for Stanford schools in a matter of months when we enter the 2026-27 school year. Joining us back on the show is John Corcoran, who is the president of the Stanford Education Association, which is part of the CEA, the largest teachers union in the state. John, welcome back. Were you tuned into this meeting last night?
Oh, good morning, Melissa. And as always, thank you for having me. I certainly was. and it was, look, disappointing. I think what Dr. Hammond, who made those amendments last night, tried to do was bring light to areas such as middle school reading, she mentioned, or the Magnet Middle School up at Schofield, up there in North Stanford, and the changes to staffing that's occurring there. And I think she did a good job of bringing that forward. And I don't want to say, you know, it was late to do that. It's behind us now. I mean, the budget process is done. What we need to do now, Melissa, is place our teachers, you know, whose positions are being cut into other positions, do what's best for kids as we're trying to do that. I think, again, that it shed light on some issues that need to be addressed with the new superintendent and the new administrative team that he's putting together. I think we were a day late and a dollar short as far as trying to get these changes done. Of course, the teachers are disappointed as to we went another week and nothing changed, you know.
Right. So that was kind of surprising to me because it felt like the board overwhelmingly was uncomfortable with that budget last week. And so I'm surprised after looking over it that, granted, I understand they wanted to look through the document, and that happens sometimes. You look through it and you're like, oh, actually, this is really not that bad at all. We're going to go forward. I do understand that. But I mean, to say that only one member really made some amendments or just some proposals and everything basically got shot down, I did find that surprising. But I want to talk about what this means. To your point, John, it passed. It's happening. There's no point to kind of go back through the weeds of it. But I do want to sort of prepare for what is happening. So let's get to it. You said there are going to be positions cut. So when that happens, how do you address? Because my understanding is there's about 60 positions being cut, but those teachers can be shuffled to other roles in the district? Or like, how does that work?
Okay. So you're right. There's just under 60 positions being cut. And if you remember when the board voted to change the high school schedule, somehow the high school schedule has been coming up throughout this year.
Shocking.
The downtown said it was going to cost $3 million to, you know, make this schedule change back to what it once was. So out of those 59.6 positions, they put contingency positions in place.
Okay.
Okay. So roughly 20 of those 59.6 were full-time equivalent teachers, but they're not bodies that, you know, are being moved. They're positions that are being cut. The money was allocated in this past January.
So people weren't in those positions anyways.
People were not in those positions.
Okay.
Financially, they're cuts. They're absolutely.
Right.
And their positions, anytime these FTEs are cut and they don't have a body in them, then the teachers lose those positions, and getting them back is almost impossible to get back. So now you're looking at, call it 40 teachers that are going to need to be shuffled around. A big chunk of that is coming from the middle school, where the schedule is being changed back to what it was a couple of years ago, in what they call the Project Lead the Way, a technology program and a writing program. So we're going to have to shuffle those people around. We will be able to shuffle people around because currently, as of yesterday, Stanford had a combined 60 resignations and retirements. I think it was 34 resignations.
Really?
Yeah. And we usually run into the 80s to 100s by the time the summer ends. We'll have plenty.
Every year, John?
Every year. We average anywhere from 22 to 25 teachers retire, and then another 50 to 70 teachers that resign and move on.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And that's been going on since I've been president and even before that. So there was a year, Melissa, a couple years ago, we had 130 plus between retirements and resignations.
Get out of here. That's crazy.
No, it is crazy. So
it's a lot of turnover.
The idea is, how do we best serve our kids? I agree that we need to reallocate, and the SEA agrees that we need to reallocate our resources, in this case, teachers. How do we best use those full-time employees? And that's, I think, what Dr. Hammond was trying to do last night when it came to one of her amendments about reading teachers at the middle schools. She was saying our scores are low. They've been continuing to be low for the last 7 years. So let's reallocate some of these positions into reading interventionists. That require a certain education on the teacher's part, a certain certification through the state of Connecticut. I think she brought that to light, trying to get the board to agree to do that on May 19th, you know, instead of January 19th, right? So
That's a tall task.
I think Dr. Talley's got, you know, he's got his hands full, trying to ascertain, you know, do I make some moves over the summer? Do I try to reallocate money to different positions? There's contractual language that gets involved in that. What I will appreciate.
So it's not a closed door, it sounds like, John. It's a matter of maybe we just ran out of time to do it, but could it happen in the next school year? Like, could we? Okay.
You hit it right on the head.
Okay.
So we're hoping, and I've talked to at length in the last week to the chief academic officer for Stanford Public Schools. And I said to her, I hope, and I look forward to the SEA and the administrators and the paras and so on being brought to the table in September as they start to develop the budget for the fiscal 27 and 28. All these years, we've never been brought to the table and asked our opinion. And here's where the teachers and I have an issue with what goes on. You don't have to agree with everything we say. We can agree to disagree. But who knows best of what goes on in a classroom but our teachers, our building principals, our paraeducators, and all that? And we're not brought to the table when budgets are created, when certain things are done. So we're looking forward to a new administration that's going to bring us into the loop and say, you're the experts. You're the ones working directly with students on a day-to-day basis. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
John Corcoran, again, president of the Stanford Education Association, which is part of the CEA, the largest teachers union in Connecticut. We thank you so much and certainly look forward to connecting with the new superintendent who is expected to begin that role July 1st. I've already been in touch with Stanford Public Schools, and we are hoping to have him on once he gets settled over the summertime. We're going to be right back. You're listening to WICC, the voice of Connecticut.